Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist. Hello, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
And as always, you're going to take lots of questions, I know, on skin-related conditions, and they're still flying in. Our WhatsApp number is 0870 32 32 32. But we want to start by talking about this particular condition. It's called melasma, or people might know it as the mask of pregnancy. So what is that?
Well, it's an inflammatory skin condition which manifests as pigmentation, typically on the face. It drives people mad because it can be very hard to camouflage. Typically, you'll see it along the tops of the cheekbones, sometimes the centre of the forehead, or it can be a reverse pattern and drift down the cheeks. Most commonly in women, but 1% can occur in men. So while it's called the mask of pregnancy and is associated with pregnancy and the combined oral contraceptive pill, I think the vast majority of women I see with it have no association with pregnancy or the pill.
Oh, so why is it happening then? Do we know?
It would appear to have hormonal influences because we very rarely see it postmenopausally. There's probably a genetic component. It could be triggered by various chemicals, just like pigmentation can be caused on the neck if you wear perfume. So that's not a good idea. And by and large, it's unknown. It's one of those inflammatory skin conditions.
Mm-hmm. But is it treatable?
Yes, it's very treatable. But what I say is it's controllable rather than curable. So that people have to stick with it until it will burn itself out and it will go away. As I said, no matter how bad it is, I rarely ever see it post-menopause years. Now, I know that's a long time to wait for an improvement, but in the meantime, you could avoid triggers that you might find makes it worse. Some people are made worse by heat, not just sun. So avoid saunas or situations like that. Sunblock, like in bed at night practically, Claire, because zinc oxide with iron oxide is the best sunblock for melasma, but it would have to be reapplied fastidiously every 2 hours if you have this medical condition. Lots of sunblock, 365 days a year, but particularly from March till October when the UV changes, look at the beautiful day we have today, the light's bright, and don't forget, through the windows, you can be aggravating your melasma. And then we have medical treatments.
Like sort of is it a laser treatment that you would use on that?
Yes, I'm going to just say one other point while we're on that about treatment. Screens don't seem to make it worse. There was a myth for a while that people on computers all day and on the phone, and it turns out that the blue light isn't strong enough to aggravate your melasma.
Okay.
So that's just worth mentioning.
Yes, it is.
Medical treatments, I find one of the best is, apart from my prescription treatments, which are usually the best with hydroquinone, vitamin C, kojic acid, etc., retinols in some situations, but one of the best interventions is very intense medical microneedling. Now, that's not just where you roll a little derma roller over your face. You come in, we put a strong local anesthetic cream on, and we microneedle deep into the skin. And we find that three intense medical microneedling treatments in a row, 1 month apart, is probably our best treatment. If that fails, we will use lasers, a variety of different lasers. Mm-hmm. Might be worth avoiding IPL if it's very active, because IPL can actually make it worse.
Okay.
So you have to be careful with the laser energy, that you don't create too much heat, because the heat could aggravate the melasma.
Okay. Well, listen, let's move on to the questions then, because we have so many of them, as always. So this first one, I'm covered in brown spots. They appear in places that never see the sun, on my back, under my breasts. They're all over my legs, especially. I'm in my 60s. I've quite sallow skin. My mother had them too, but she was fair, blonde, red haired. My legs particularly bother me. I wear fake tan in the summer. I'm not sure if they look better or worse. I always wear a high sun factor. And she's saying that laser might be unaffordable on the leg. So clearly these spots now are bothering her. But I just wonder, is there any medical reason to be concerned here?
Well, there's a very wide differential. There is one disorder that just came to mind as you were speaking, with a big long name, disseminated superficial actinic porokeratosis.
Right.
And that can occur all over the body. Because I'm trying to think of something that's going to occur on her, some protected sites as well. And that would be worth checking out because it is theoretically a precancerous condition, although I've only seen a skin cancer in it once in 35 years. But fake tan could accumulate in that and it could look worse with the fake tan. Mm. So whilst it could be sun damage, I think she'd know that if it's uncovered places like her buttocks and armpits, you're talking about completely different disorders. Certain yeast infections and fungal infections can look like brown spots. It's called pityriasis versicolor, but that would tend to be confined to the trunk and upper limbs. I'm sure she's not talking about moles because she'd know it if it was a mole. It's very unlikely to be cafe au lait. It sounds far too extensive. So it sounds like a very interesting eruption.
And so from what you've heard there, you're saying that that needs to be checked, right?
Well, she wants a diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, because then you know, once you have a diagnosis, you know if anything can be done. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think laser is an option when it's that extensive.
Right. OK, so get medical advice on that one is where we're at there. So this is from a woman who is 48 and perimenopausal. I have rosacea for 20 years. I have an IUD since September 2024. And since then, I've developed regular acne all over the face. Is there anything that would help the new acne issue apart from coming off the IUD? Now, the IUD is because this person had extreme period cramps.
Right. Well, the solution for that person is take out the IUD. We often have to recommend that. But then we have situations where it's in for gynecological reasons. Mm. In that situation, we would have to keep her on medications for as long as she has the IUD. And it's the progesterone in the IUD that is causing acne. The same would happen to her if she got the implant in her arm, like a lot of teenage girls will get acne from the implant and they should take it out and go for a combined contraceptive pill. Or indeed, if she went on the progesterone only pill, the same would happen. So she will need systemic therapy, i.e. anti-inflammatory antibiotics or low-dose long-term Roaccutane for as long as she needs that IUD.
Right. OK, so if you need the IUD, you're going to need treatment for the acne.
Correct.
OK. My sister is going through chemo for breast cancer. She's broken out in a red lumpy rash on her face. She's been given steroid cream. Is there anything else that might help? Have you heard of that before?
Chemo causes rashes every day of the week.
Yeah.
And the oncologist in charge of that patient will arrange for a dermatologist to see her and give her the appropriate treatment. So the answer is yes, it's more than likely caused by chemo, but of course not necessarily, but more than likely. So she would need a treatment so that she can continue with her chemo.
There might be more out there, though, are you suggesting, than the steroid cream she's on?
Oh, absolutely. She may well need tablets.
Right. OK, I have another one here. This is from Margaret, who recently developed a rash on the back of her legs above the knee. It's not itchy, but it feels like sandpaper to the touch. So we can imagine that. It's starting to spread to the front, but I don't have it anywhere else on my body. What might that be?
It could be psoriasis. It could be dermatitis. It could be a contact dermatitis. Mm. It could be a seat she's sitting on that's releasing plasticizers or colorings. Oh. It could be in her clothes. She could have a clothing contact dermatitis because that area of a pair of jeans will be most in contact with her skin sitting down. If she gets hot and sweaty, you could leach the dye out. So if it's getting itchy, it sounds like dermatitis and she might need allergy testing.
She's saying it's not itchy.
It's not itchy.
It feels like sandpaper. I mean, some people have a skin condition, don't they, where their skin is bumpy.
Yes, Claire.
On the legs.
Very good.
What is that?
Keratosis pilaris.
Okay.
Typically down the sides of the thighs and the front. Typically would be present on the outer arms and sometimes the outer cheek and even the outer eyebrow as well. Keratosis pilaris tends to occur in youth and reduces as you get older. I haven't come across it coming on for the first time in an adult at that age.
Right.
So I'm afraid she needs to be seen.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Can't say fairer than that. This is from a 45-year-old woman who had her second child 7 years ago. Since then, my torso, front and back are covered in flat warts. So she's tried cryotherapy, but there are too many to remove. Mm. Is there anything else that can be done? They're awful and they're really knocking my confidence. And she tells us that she's otherwise very healthy, no other issues.
I think she has developed an eruption. It's called seborrheic keratoses, and that can occur in pregnancy, where you can actually suddenly get covered in them. And they are completely benign. They're not viral. This is now based on the history, because obviously I can't see them.
Yeah.
They're not viral. So they're not warts, but they are called seborrheic warts, but they're not contagious. They can occur in pregnancy. I'm afraid the treatment for those is liquid nitrogen, like she has had.
But
she would work her way through it serially, maybe do, it's very painful, so do a region at a time, clear them, and then they should stay away. A lot of the time when they erupt in pregnancy like that, they often reduce after the pregnancy, so she's unlucky.
Right. Hasn't pregnancy got an awful lot to answer for?
But look at the end result.
I suppose there is that. Now, this is from a man who's in his early 60s. He says he has skin tags on the inside of the upper thigh area. And what is the best way to get rid of those?
Very common. And they are usually tags and polyps, and they just need to be snipped off. Often cryotherapy isn't good enough for those because they can be quite big and the base is small. And the easiest thing is a little prick of local anaesthetic all over them and then just snip them off, cauterize them.
I'm saying ouch, but it's not ouch because there's a local anaesthetic.
Local anaesthetic. The GP might be able to do that. Otherwise, obviously, a dermatologist.
Do they come back then, though?
Often, and again, I don't know this gentleman, often they are associated with increased BMI. And if the person loses the weight, they may go. But there can be a genetic tendency. There's a disorder called acanthosis nigricans, where the skin there can be brown and velvety and also covered with these. And indeed, it's probably worth mentioning that that can be associated with insulin resistance and subsequently diabetes.
Right.
So, you know, if they're just simple polyps and tags on completely normal skin, snip them off. If it's acanthosis nigricans, get a medical workup.
Okay, so if there's a discoloration there.
Yes, brown, velvety, skin. Thickened skin.
Okay, now this listener has a daughter aged 12 who has really bad eczema, flare up since Christmas. She hasn't had it since she was five, so it's a relatively new thing. She had been on prescription acne topical treatment for 6 months before Christmas, and they feel it was a combination of the very cold weather in January combined with some Christmas makeup gifts targeted at pre-teens that brought it on. She's doing emulsifying ointment twice a day and over-the-counter hydrocortisone. And while that works for a while, we're in a constant cycle of flare-up when there's no hydrocortisone in the mix. So when they stop using that, they have the flare-up. It's now spread to her arms. It's like spots with heads. She's very itchy. What to do? And they're also worried about continuing with the hydrocortisone indefinitely.
Very good. So she has facial eczema and now she has it on the arms.
Yes.
And she has pustules. So she has infected eczema and she could do very well with antibiotics and appropriate skincare, such as the oily baths. I say to people, go to the shelf in the chemist for children with eczema, diaper bath, oilatum, all these over-the-counter preparations. I find that people who have had eczema rarely tolerate the topical acne roll-ons that we use. So I will rarely use topical therapy creams and lotions for acne in people who've had eczema. They don't tolerate them and it will trigger their eczema. Mm-hmm. So I would try to stop that. She'll probably need tablets for her acne and indeed dietary manipulation instead. There is another cream called Protopic, which is a non-steroid, which would be the treatment of choice for chronic long-term facial eczema because it's not a steroid. It won't thin her skin. It won't cause cataracts, glaucoma or any other side effects like that.
Is that a prescription
and
cream?
And it's a prescription.
Okay, Protopic.
Protopic. So I'd pop into the GP, discuss getting Protopic and a course of antibiotics and consider stopping the what's probably Zinaret or Dalacin for her acne.
Okay.
And change her pillowcase because it's all over her pillowcase.
On the subject though of the Christmas makeup gifts targeted at preteens.
Don't touch them.
Yeah, and I know you have this view, but I mean, there's so much out there now. It's heavily marketed.
I mean,
you have 10-year-olds who are into it, but really, we need to be careful.
Well, I think we have to be parents. And I had one parent who said that her child was asking for all these crazily expensive, coloured, we won't name the labels, but all these brands. And the mother was very sensible. She went into Boots, got her daughter a pile of bottles with lovely coloured lids and labels, filled them all with over-the-counter Elav, La Roche-Posay, Aven, safe little skin cream so that when the child's friends came home from school, she had her own little pharmacy stash, and she didn't feel left out.
Good idea.
Don't put those on the child's skin.
Rosemary, thank you so much. The time has run away with us. We're at the end, but we got through a lot there. Thank you very much. That's Dr. Rosemary Coleman.